Blog Talk Radio.
In this life, you will have trouble. You can't avoid it. You can't get around it. But you can live through it.
Life is filled with so many ups and downs. Have you ever been there? One day you're smiling, the next day you're fighting to hold back your tears, to hide how you feel. So tired of faking, like everything is okay when you know it's not right.
You can't get
no sleep at night.
And now
you may be asking, could you never imagine how could this be God? Cannot be God. I can only tell you what he told me.
He told me. This is what he told me.
Live through it.
He said, James,
grow through it.
You will
get through it.
You can make it.
You can make it if you just wait through it. Don't let this be the end for you.
It's not the end. Is only temporary.
Hello, welcome to Real Talk. This is Glenda Phillips, your host here on Gospel Anointed Ministries Radio. Today on our show, I am joined by Pastor Rufus Phillips of Global Harvest Kingdom Church, Timely Kingdom Objectives, and Gospel Anointed Ministries. On today's show, we will be discussing the Word of God through a biblical teaching, The Man of God is Doing, called Unconventional Faith. Unconventional faith. And now, on with today's show, we would give Pastor Phil the opportunity to greet the radio listening audience and to move forward into his teaching segment. Pastor Phil, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much, and good morning to each and every one of you. We thank you for joining us this morning on the show. Once again, we give God all the glory, the honor and the praise, because it is due unto him. We had just finished celebrating just a couple of days ago the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, and we're so thankful. It is one of the quintessential events. It is the most quintessential event that we celebrate as believers in Christ. And so some folk call it Easter. We call it Resurrection Sunday, but we're grateful to God that he did indeed. Not only that he lived, he suffered and died, but the fact that he got up, he was resurrected, praise God, and he is alive and well, hallelujah, praise God. Let's get on with the business at hand this morning. We thank God for you joining us on the show this morning, and we thank God for giving us this blessed opportunity. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the Word of God in the New Testament, Luke. A very familiar passage in the book of St. Luke, chapter 7, and we're going to read in your hearing this morning from the King James Version, our weapon of choice, Luke 2, and we're going to read down to verse 10. Luke chapter 2, down to verse 10, praise God. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews. He sent the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him, that is, they questioned him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this. They besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. That is the man who requested this particular thing of the Lord, that he was worthy. Verse 5, for he loveth our nation, they said. For he loves our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. He's even built a sanctuary, a synagogue for us. Then Jesus went with them. The next action, verse 6, says, then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, he's now close, he's not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him. Now he sends friends out to Jesus to greet him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Verse 7, wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. He said, I didn't think myself worthy to come out unto you, but say in a word, but rather say in a word, the messages from this centurion, praise God, who has sent unto the Lord first elders. Now he sends friends. Once Jesus is close to the house, and they're saying unto him, the man said, I don't feel worthy that you should, that you could come into my house. I just don't feel that it's a proper thing to do. And then I didn't feel worthy personally coming out unto you. Praise the Lord. And so he said, but. Now to the business at hand, he said, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 8, he goes on to explain, for I also am a man under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to one individual, go, and he goeth, and to another, I say, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard, verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled. Oh, my God. It's something to impress the Lord. The Bible says he marveled at this man, this centurion. He wasn't even of the household of faith. He wasn't one of the Jewish believers. He was a Roman centurion. Marveled at this man, and turned himself about. That is, he turned around, and he said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not even in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house, that is, the friends that were sent out unto Christ Jesus, they return into the house, verse 10 says, they found the servant whole, that is, well, that had been sick. May the Lord add a blessing unto the hearers, readers, the doers of his word. So speaking from the subject matter of thought on today, briefly, unconventional faith. Unconventional faith. The Lord said in verse 9, Jesus, he marveled, first of all, the right Luke, the physician, praise God. He's called Dr. Luke. He was a physician by trade. Dr. Luke brings out the fact that the Lord marveled. He was impressed by this man. He hadn't even met the man, glory to God. The man sent unto him elders of the Jews. He said, perhaps they'll listen to you because you are associated with him. You are his folk. And then when Jesus was close to the house, he sent friends. Because the man said, I don't even feel that my house is proper for you to come under my roof. And then I don't feel worthy to come to you myself. And so he sent an entourage, that is, friends unto Jesus. And he begins to tell him his need, praise God, and the fact that he understood authority. But the Bible says the Lord was impressed. He marveled at this man. And then he turned around, addresses the crowd, and says unto the people that followed him, I say to you, I have not found this kind of faith. No, not even amongst my own folk, not even in Israel. Faith. The quintessential thing in the household of the believers. It is faith that is the necessary thing that we need in order that we might receive anything of God. The very essence of our belief system is based on faith. The Bible says, whosoever confesses with their mouth, Romans 10 and 9, and believeth with their heart that God raises him, that is Christ Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe it, praise God. It is based on our faith. Now, this Roman officer, he was a captain in charge of 100 men. He was a centurion. That is, he was a Roman officer in charge of 100 men. This man came to Jesus, not as a last resort, but because he believed that Jesus was sent from God. See, it's something that you believe that Jesus is not just, as some presume, that he's one of the prophets, or, he's John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the other prophets, praise God. He's just a prophet of God. Some believe that's all he was. This man believed that he was sent from God. We have to believe that Jesus is from God. That's what he said of himself. He says, the Father has sent me. Glory to God. He said unto Philip, Philip said, show us the Father, and it'll be sufficient enough for us. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. He's in me, I'm in him. Even the Bible says at Jesus' arrival, he is to be called Emmanuel. That is God being with us. He was God, manifested in flesh. Emmanuel, God being with us, that came down, put on human flesh, and tabernacled among us. Glory to God. This man believed that Jesus was sent from God. Apparently, the officer recognized that the Jews were God's special people. It is recorded that he loved the Jews and he built them a synagogue. Glory to God. It was one of the selling points that the elders, when they came to Jesus in verse 3 and 4, when he sent to them the elders, verse 3, and then verse 4, when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom that Jesus should do this for. Why? Verse 5, he loveth our nation, and he built us a synagogue. Glory to God. He built us a synagogue. Thus, in his time of need, this man, see, it's about the work you do beforehand. You don't just start becoming, praise God. Now, that's why it's important, saints, that we begin to not do good when we get in a place of need. But we should oftentimes begin to do that which is good, that which is right, that which is proper, so that in when we find ourselves in a place, holy glory. Even the Bible, in the Lord, in his teaching on the all-important Sermon on the Mount, he taught many, many lessons. One of them he called the Beatitudes. Glory to God. He gave us Beatitudes. One of those Beatitudes, he says, blessed are the merciful, those who extend mercy. Why? For mercy shall be extended again unto them. This man must have heard some of the teachings of Christ, and certainly we feel as though he's understood some of these teachings, because this man, he exemplified charity toward the Jews, the people of God, and he loved them, and he did good toward them. So now this man is in a place of need himself. He needs his servant, praise God, to be healed. And he besought the Lord earnestly. He didn't come to Jesus himself. He said those who could give testimony and testament to the fact that this man loved the people of God. And so they were the ones convincing. They said, this man is worthy, Jesus, because he loved your people and those who represent you. He's even built us a synagogue. Glory to God. And now he's in a place of need. So in his time of need, it was natural for him to turn to Jesus. Glory to God. See, it becomes natural for those who trust in God to turn to God, because they understand that the essence of the answer for their problem is in Christ. Glory to God. And whatever we need, we can look unto the Lord for the answer. Oh, glory. Why did the officer send Jewish leaders to Jesus instead of going himself? Well, since he was well aware of the Jewish hatred for Roman soldiers. He was aware of that. So that man says, I'm not going to press the issue. I understand that you really don't care for my kind. Glory to God. Though he himself was not one of those individuals that acted out towards the Jewish nation. Actually, he loved them, but he understood what the relationship was between the Jews and the Romans. And so he knew the Jews had a hatred for Roman soldiers. So that man would not put himself personally in harm's way. He would not aggravate the situation. He may not have wanted to interrupt, perhaps, a Jewish gathering. He didn't want to come in the midst and cause disruption in the middle of one of their gatherings because he knew how they felt toward the Romans. As an army officer, he daily delegated work, and he sent groups on missions. So this was how he chose to get his message to Jesus. He says, I do this all the time, so why not use what I'm used to doing, the same methods of mythology? He said, I'm going to just send unto him. Glory to God. I'm used to that. I understand authority, and so I'm just going to send, praise God. And so he chose to use this method. So he chose to send messengers to get his need unto Christ. Matthew 8:5 says the Roman officer visited Jesus himself, while Luke 7:3 says he sent Jewish leaders to present his request to Jesus. In dealing with the messengers, Jesus was dealing with the officers. For his Jewish audience, Matthew emphasizes the fact of the man's faith. He emphasized the fact of the man's faith. For his Gentile audience, Luke highlighted the good relationship between the Jewish leaders and the Roman officer. This man, he had built a good rapport with his Jewish counterparts, praise God. And so they were, once again, the convincing party that told Jesus this man is worthy because what he's already done, Jesus. He's already shown himself to be faithful and that he loves the people of God, and he's already built a sanctuary. The Roman officer didn't come to Jesus, and he didn't expect Jesus to come to him, just as the officer did not need to be present to have his orders carried out. So Jesus, in like similar fashion, he didn't need to be present to heal. The officer's faith was especially amazing because he was a Gentile who had not been brought up to know a loving God. But this man said, I understand one thing. In principle, he said, I understand authority, Jesus. And I recognize, just as I have authority naturally to be able to speak to individuals, he said, I speak to one servant and tell him to go and he goes. I speak to another one and say, come and he comes because of the authority that's in me. He says, I'm under authority and I know how to delegate authority so that even when I'm given orders, I have to carry out those orders specifically because it is required of me, and then I know how to delegate. He said, so I understand authority, Jesus, and I understand you are a man that has authority. Now, the authority that the Lord has was not in a physical sense, but he has spiritual authority, and the man understood that also. He said, because you ain't even got to come where I am, and I certainly don't feel worthy to come where you are, but I know authority, I know you have it, and I know you're able to speak right from where you are. And you can cause, praise God, my servant, to be made well and whole again. And the Lord was so impressed, he said, I have not seen this kind of faith. No, not even among my own folk. I ain't seen this faith even in Israel among those who operate in faith. And faith issues, praise God. He says, this man is one who don't even understand a lot of the things that your eyes, he haven't seen the things your eyes have seen, and he haven't heard all of the things that your ears have heard, but this man has exemplified an unconventional type of faith. And he says, I haven't seen it, no, not even in the whole of Israel. Faith is that necessary thing, beloved. It don't matter who you are. Whether you're amongst God's most sacred sect of people, or you come from among those across the tracks, what God responds to essentially is faith. And that man exemplifies something that got the Lord's attention. And not just in faith, he said it was an unconventional kind of faith. This wasn't the necessary kind. He said this man showed a faith that was not normal because he believed in me so much so, he says, you ain't even got to come where I am to lay your hands and touch my servant. I just believe you can just speak it. And the man's servant was made whole. Jesus said, this is an unconventional kind of faith. How many of us today will exemplify, will operate in a type of faith that is unconventional, that is not normal, that is something that is not reasonably seen amongst not even the people of God. God, once again, in his word, reminds us that without it, faith, it is an impossibility to please God. And when we take it to the next level, we operate in a faith that is indeed unconventional. May God add a blessing to both hearers, the readers, and doers of his holy and eternal word. God bless you and keep you is our prayer on today.
Thank you, Pastor Phil, for that inspiring word here in the studio. It is time for a commercial break. I'm Glenda Phil, show host here on God's Anointed Ministry Radio.
Do you need marital counseling to deal with your marital issues? Do you want resources to help enhance your marriage? Log on to www.godsanointedministries.com to get in touch with Glenda and Rufus Phil. You can also check out their latest book on marriage called Diary of a Man, Heart of a Woman as a self-help tool. Check out God's Anointed Ministries today. It's always time to pray. Prayer for our families, kids, and nation. Join Pastor Rufus and Glenda Fields of Timely Kingdom Objectives each Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time to pray. The call-in number is 1-5-4700, access code 126-580-#.
Global Harvest Kingdom Church, a global outreach church fulfilling the mandate of God to equip, empower, edify, encourage, and educate the people of God in this season. Global Harvest Kingdom Church, join us every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Global Harvest Kingdom Church, a church on the move for God.
And welcome back to the Real Talk segment here on God's Anointed Ministries Radio with your host, Glenda Fields. And I am joined in the studio with Pastor Rufus Fields of Global Harvest Kingdom Church, Time to Kingdom Objectives, and God's Anointed Ministries. And today, Pastor Fields, we have two elders from, Elder Thomas is from the Bahamas, and Elder Richard is from the Virgin Islands. And both of those men of God that we have just come out of resurrection celebration time, they want to know what is your interpretation of resurrection. What does resurrection mean to you?
Glory to God. And to
Elder Thomas
and Elder Richards. Certainly we thank God for both of you mighty men of God. And certainly, resurrection is a wonderful thing to us. To me personally, it means that I can have that type of faith in a God who not only says, but who does. Jesus said in one instance in Scripture, he says, if you don't believe me for the words that I've been speaking unto you, then believe me for the work's sake. And the works that the Lord did on that great and awesome day, he had already been telling us for many years as he walked, and he walked for 3.5 years among the people here on earth. He had been telling us that he came to do a work on behalf of the Father, and he was focused in what he was sent to do. He says, I came in order to bring salvation unto my people. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so, but he came to do a work, and then he began to tell the disciples, I got to go back. I've got to leave you. And he was talking about not only his death, the crucifixion that he would have to go through, but also the fact that he would be in the grave 3 days. And then he said the third day that he would arise again back unto life. He said, if this temple be put to death, I'll raise it up again. And on that fateful day, he was resurrected. He got up, and the Bible says with all power. He didn't just get up. He got up with all power in his hand. And he declared that he was alive forevermore. And so God is still there. The one who promises us that I'll never leave, nor will I ever forsake you. I'll be with you, what, always, even until the very end. And I'm assured of this fact because the Bible says, just as he said, he got up. And so when Jesus got up, not only did he get up, but we got up in him because we are accepted, the Bible says, in the beloved. And so whatever you're going through right now, you can get up. No matter how bad it may seem, it can be resurrected. God even asked one time unto Ezekiel, he said, Son of man, can these very dry bones, can they live again? Ezekiel said, I don't know, God, but you know. And he said, speak unto them. And Ezekiel said, as I was commanded, God resurrected that which seemingly was dead, and he brought it up again because he wanted us to understand there's life in Christ. And as Christ, he represents the fullness of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So surely to me today, resurrection means that whatever seemingly is dead, whatever seemingly is over and through, it can be resurrected or brought up again. There's new life in Christ. There's a new beginning. Praise God. God bless you, brothers. God keep you. Mighty men is our sincerest prayer. Hallelujah.
And thank you, Pastor Phil. Let us know how you are enjoying listening to the Real Talk segment, and continue to check out all that Pastor Phil is doing via his website, and they are www.godsanointedministries.com and www.ghkc1.org. For upcoming shows and upcoming television segments and upcoming radio broadcast segments, and you can also email the man of God to encourage him to continue in the faith walk that God has him in at gam@godsanointedministries.com or pastorrufus@ghkc1.org. And give him your feedback and encourage the man of God. Also, in this time and this season, you can avail yourself to assist in the man of God with monetary information for the various ministries and outreaches that he is associated with. And you can do that via his website, as well as assist him with upcoming television and radio broadcast segments. In this time and in this season, as well as men and women of God, you can assist the man of God with international ministry outreach, and you can do that via his website. And once again, excuse me, those websites are www.godsanointedministries.com and www.ghkc1.org. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Real Talk segment here on God's Anointed Ministries Radio. I am Glenda Phil, your host, bidding you Godspeed and God favor in this season.
And I will have to. go through three stages, for it's all to burn. It has to go through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. And just like the olive, some of you may have felt like you go through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. You went through all of that for your oil to flow. Now your greater is coming. If it had not been for the shaking, I never would have been ready for the making. No. If it had not been for the beating, I would have never knew how anointed I would be. Oh, yeah. If it had not been for the pressing, I wouldn't be able to walk into my destiny. He's preparing me, preparing me, preparing me for greater. I feel it shaking in the spirit. I feel it beating in the spirit. Still oppressing in the spirit. Prepare.